Chapter 6. It was obvious to Sabrina that the Scarlet Hand had spooked Granny Rhoda. The old woman spent the rest of the night silently digging through her old books and taking notes. When the girls announced they were going to bed, she mumbled what sounded like good night, but kept researching. While Daphne brushed her teeth, Sabrina ran her head under the bathtub faucet and washed her hair for the fourth time that day. She wrapped it up in a towel, and the girls headed for their bedroom. Daphne put on her favorite pair of footy pajamas and pinned her deputy's badge to them. After buffing it into a shine, she went to their father's desk, which the little girl was slowly converting into a beauty parlor, and took a hairbrush from one of its drawers. "Can I?" she asked. Sabrina nodded, and her little sister climbed up on the bed, took the towel off of the older girl's head, and ran the brush over her long blonde hair. For some reason, brushing Sabrina's hair helped calm Daphne down so that she could go to sleep. After finding a dead body, being attacked by a frog girl, nearly dying with Granny behind the wheel of the car, and having the house vandalized right under their noses, Daphne would be brushing for a long time, Sabrina suspected. "You okay?" she asked. "I can't get Mr. Grumpner's face out of my head," Daphne replied. "Try not to think about it." "But we have to think about it. Now that we're police officers, it's up to us to find his killer." "I think we should let the sheriff handle this one," Sabrina said. "We can't. We made a vow. Besides, the town needs us to solve the mystery. We are Grimms, and this is what we..." "What we need to do is find Mom and Dad," Sabrina interrupted. "We'll find them," her sister said. "I don't know how. We've been here for 3 weeks and have spent all our time catching Lilliputians and killing giants. Isn't it time to start putting Mom and Dad first?" "The mayor needs our help." "And while we're busy doing the mayor's job, Mom and Dad are still missing," Sabrina snapped. "How do we know that Charming isn't responsible?" "He wouldn't do that. He's an ever after, Daphne. Ever afters can't be..." "What?" Daphne said. "Ever afters can't be what?" "Trusted," Sabrina exploded. Her sister looked at Sabrina as if she didn't recognize her. It was an expression more hurtful than any word the little girl could have said. "It's obvious an ever-after kidnapped our parents, and it's also obvious that an ever-after is behind Grumpner's murder," Sabrina tried to explain. "Sabrina, they aren't all bad." "All the ones I've met," the older girl insisted. Daphne set the hairbrush on the nightstand, crawled under the covers, and turned her back on her sister. "I don't like you very much right now," she whispered. "You'll see I'm right soon enough," Sabrina said. She stared up at the ceiling, waiting for Daphne to respond, but the little girl remained quiet. Sabrina told herself she didn't care. Daphne wasn't going to make her feel guilty. She'd worry about being tolerant and accepting when their mother and father came home. "Good night," she whispered. But her sister said nothing. Sabrina snatched a copy of the Blue Fairy book off the nightstand and opened it to page 1. Maybe there was something in the book, some kind of magic she could use to find their parents. Once the house was quiet, Sabrina grabbed her set of keys up from under the bed, snatched a book off her nightstand, and headed to Mirror's room. When she walked through the portal, she found him with a reflective silver card under his chin and a tanning lamp shining in his face. On a nearby table, he had a pitcher of margaritas and a bottle of suntan lotion. When he saw Sabrina, he smiled and flicked off the lamp. "Just in time, kiddo," the little man said. "I'm roasting over here. How was your first day of school?" "Oh, the usual. The kids made fun of me, I punched a bully, and a teacher was murdered by a monster," Sabrina replied. "Sixth grade isn't how I remember it," Mirrors said, reaching over to a table and pouring himself a fresh drink. "Sorry, I'd offer you one, but you're a bit young. How about a Shirley Temple?" "No, thanks," Sabrina said. "I remember my school days. It wasn't easy for a shy, talking mirror, but I managed. Trust me, Starfish, it gets better the day after." "The day after what?" "The day after you graduate," Mira said. Are you feeling okay? You look flushed. I think I'm getting sick, the girl said, holding her hand to her forehead to check for a fever. I've been getting headaches all day, and I've been a cranky jerk to almost everybody. Sounds like puberty to me. If you think school is tough now, wait until you start getting zits. So, you're sure I'm not sick? Completely, kiddo. I remember when your dad went through it. He was in a fistfight every day for 2 weeks. I remember one time he got your grandfather so angry the old man chased him up a tree. Mirror laughed. So this is normal, Sabrina said. I thought I was going crazy. I didn't say you weren't going crazy, the little man responded. I just said you were growing up. The two are not mutually exclusive. So, did you just come to chat, or are we going on a magic hunt again tonight? Sabrina sheepishly held out a book about King Arthur's powerful wizard Merlin. Come on, kiddo, Mirror said, sounding resigned, and Sabrina followed him down the hall. Early the next morning, Sabrina awoke to a thundering racket, followed by a series of thuds and crashes that knocked a picture off her bedroom wall. Something was going on at the end of the hallway that sounded like a fistfight, and Sabrina knew there could be only one source of the chaos. Puck. She eyed the clock and saw that it was only 5 a.m., and her blood began to boil. 5 a.m. was too early for his nonsense. Of course, Daphne slept through the noise, snoring away as if nothing was happening. The little girl could sleep through World War III. The only thing she wouldn't sleep through was breakfast. Sabrina leaped out of bed and marched down the hallway. The day before had taught her not to just barge into his room, so she banged on the door angrily instead. After several moments, she realized that the tremendous noise she heard wasn't coming from inside Puck's bedroom, but from the bathroom down the hall. Fearing her grandmother had fallen in the tub, Sabrina rushed to the bathroom door, grabbed the knob, and flung the door open, just as a nearly naked 11-year-old boy ran past her. Puck! Granny Relda cried. Come back here! Mr. Canis leaped to his feet and rushed past Sabrina, chasing the boy, who had fled downstairs. What's going on? The girl asked, as she peered into the bathroom. It was a complete disaster. The bathtub was surrounded by a dozen empty bottles of shampoo and what looked like the wrappings of at least 20 bars of soap. The inside of the tub was filled with an oily black sludge that slowly spiraled down the drain. On the toilet basin was a plate where 4 fat worms, several dead beetles, a hand grenade, and 36 cents in change had been collected. Puck is having his bath. His 8th bath, Granny Relda said, partly exhausted and partly annoyed. You've let him out, and now he's probably in the woods, rolling in who knows what. Again. He's taking a bath? Sabrina said. Puck hadn't taken a bath since he'd moved into the house, and his unbearable stink had ruined many a meal for the girl. One whiff of his nauseating aroma was all anyone needed to realize that the Trickster King and Soap were bitter enemies. Not that I'm complaining, but why is he taking a bath? She asked suspiciously. We felt it was necessary under the circumstances, said Granny Relda. Sabrina noticed the old woman was wearing plastic gloves to protect her hands. Circumstances? What circumstances? But Granny's explanation was interrupted by Mr. Canis, who stomped back up the stairs with the boy in his arms. Puck squirmed and kicked the entire way. This is rubbish, he shrieked, as the old man dragged him back into the bathroom and wrapped him in a clean towel. The tub is clogged again, Granny Relda said. I suppose we could try another round on the teeth while it drains. Sabrina eyed the bathroom sink, where 4 worn-down and abused toothbrushes had met their doom. Several tubes of toothpaste littered the floor. Each had been thoroughly emptied of all its cavity-fighting protection. "Will someone please tell me what is going on in here?" Sabrina demanded. Puck turned and smirked at the girl, A devilish gleam sparkled in his eyes, and he temporarily ceased his indignant protests. "Guess what, Piggy? I'm going to school with you today," he shouted as he kicked the door closed in her face. "I'm going to be your bodyguard." "Yes, you absolutely do need a bodyguard," Granny Relda argued with Sabrina as she tried to pat Daphne's hair down with her hand. The little girl had molded her still glue-soaked locks into a pointy mohawk that stood about a foot and a half above her head. Finding little success, Granny gave up and turned her attention to serving each girl glow-in-the-dark waffles for breakfast. "We've got two monsters running around in the hallways." "But why him?" Sabrina cried. Her own hair had become super curly after her multiple shampoos, producing an almost perfect globe shape, like a big yellow tennis ball. "Why don't you come?" she said to her grandmother. "You could use a fairy godmother wand to change yourself into a kid." "I'd look like a kid, but I'd still be an old lady," said Granny. "This way, if something happens, then at least there's someone around who can fight." "Actually," Daphne said, shoveling half a glowing waffle into her mouth, "I think it's a great idea. He's our age, and none of the kids will know who he is." Sabrina shot her sister a betrayed look, but the little girl didn't see it. She was obviously still angry and refusing to make eye contact with her. "Oh, no. They won't notice him at all until he turns into a monkey and throws his own poop down the hallway," Sabrina said. "And it's not like the kids aren't going to notice the 15 layers of crud he has under his pits. He smells like Coney Island after a clam-eating contest." "Excuse me?" Puck inquired. The boy had slipped into the room without anyone seeing him. Sabrina turned to give him her usual nasty look, but when she saw how he had transformed, she dropped her fork. Puck was clean, shiny, and blonde. He'd been scrubbed from head to toe. His leaf-infested, raggedy hair was neat and combed, and his teeth sparkled like diamonds. Even his ever-present ratty green hoodie and jeans had been retired and replaced with black cargo pants, a striped baby blue rugby shirt, and brand-new sneakers. "Puck, you're... Sabrina stammered. "You're a hottie," Daphne shouted. Sabrina hated herself, but she had to agree. Puck, the shapeshifter, the royal pain in the rear, had transformed into a cute boy. Sabrina couldn't help but stare, even when he caught her. "Yes, it's true," he said as he took a seat. "Please don't hate me because I'm beautiful." Granny placed a plate of waffles in front of him, and he shoved them into his mouth with his bare hands. Whatever spell he had cast on Sabrina quickly faded as she watched him pour some maple syrup down his throat and take a bite out of a stick of butter. "Puck," Granny Relda groaned as she wiped syrup off the boy's face. "Use a fork. You don't want to have to take another bath, do you?" "So you ran the garden hose over him. What about the insanity on the inside?" Sabrina asked, still doing her best not to look at him. Puck grinned at her, and his big green eyes made her want to cry. She couldn't like Puck. He was disgusting. He wasn't even a real boy. "Don't worry, old lady," he said with a grin. "I'll behave. Besides, who's going to notice me with these two in their hair?" Suddenly, his head morphed into a donkey's head. He brayed and laughed and spit all over Sabrina. "Puck, sweetie, no shape-shifting at the table," Granny Relda lectured. "Just getting it out of my system," the boy said, transforming back to normal. Sabrina wanted to die. Even when he was being disgusting, he was cute. Puck looked over at Sabrina, who was wiping his spittle off her face. "Hey, ugly, is that your face, or did your neck throw up?" Sabrina was horrified. Did he think she was ugly? Why would he say such a horrible thing in front of everyone? And then it dawned on her. This beautiful boy sitting across from her was still Puck the Trickster. He was the boy who had dumped her in a tub of goo and put a tarantula in her bed. Puck was still Puck, even after a makeover. This is ridiculous, she said. You're sending him because of all this scarlet hand message business when we all know he's the one who did it. You think I made all those handprints on the house? Puck asked. Who else? She cried. You're the so-called trickster king. You were pretty mad when Granny sent you to get the widow. You decided to get your revenge by scaring us. Why not add a little terror to your bag of pranks? I think the glue and buttermilk is seeping out of your hair and into your itty-bitty brain, the boy snapped. I believe him, Daphne declared. He always admits when he does stuff. He's proud of it. Sabrina turned to her and fumed. Once again, her own sister had taken Puck's side against her. Well, I'm pretty proud of my right hook, Sabrina shouted, returning her attention to Puck. Why don't you come over here and I'll show it to you? Lieblings, Granny shouted. The children spun around to face the old woman. Her face was flushed and her little button nose was flaring. Enough with the shouting! He started it, Sabrina shouted. She started it, shouted Puck. Puck is going to school with you, Granny Relda said firmly. End of discussion. Everyone sat silently for a moment, staring down at their breakfasts. By the way, Marshmallow, Puck said to Daphne, breaking the silence, how many warts did you find this morning? The little girl rolled up her sleeves and showed the boy her arms. Not one. Puck sighed. That's a shame. Why? Well, if you were going to have little ones, they would have already shown up. You could put some cream on them and they'd go away in a day or two. But the really big ones take a couple days to show. Those are the kind that end up on the tip of your nose or growing out of your neck. You have to have surgery to get rid of those. Daphne shrieked and jumped from her seat. In no time, she was running up the steps to the bathroom again. You better scrub harder this time, Puck shouted to the little girl. How is Captain Maturity going to keep an eye on both of us at the same time? Sabrina asked. Daphne and I aren't in the same grade. Puck is there to watch you, Sabrina. Daphne will be safe with Snow White, Granny replied. Snow's a good friend and has volunteered to keep her eye on your sister. Don't worry, old lady, Puck crowed. I'll keep this one out of trouble. Granny Relda, Canis, and Puck headed off to meet with Principal Hamlin about enrolling His Majesty into the sixth grade. As Puck was an ever after, Granny decided an ever after should take care of his enrollment and bypassed Mr. Sheepshank entirely. Sabrina was fairly sure the boy was a moron, so she wondered what Granny had planned if the principal decided Puck should be in kindergarten. Sabrina had assured her grandmother that she could walk to homeroom alone, but regretted the decision when someone grabbed her from behind and dragged her into the girls' restroom. When she spun around, ready to sock her attacker, she found Bella with a brush and some hairspray in hand. "You need some serious help," the blonde girl said, ushering her over to the mirror, turning her around, and going to work on her hair with the brush. "How did you get your hair this way?" "It's a long story," Sabrina said sheepishly. Bella tugged and pulled with her brush, coated Sabrina's head with hairspray, and then tied the unruly mane up with a pink rubber band. To Sabrina's surprise, Bella had done something in seconds that Sabrina had been trying to do for herself for 2 days. She had made Sabrina look normal. "It'll hold until lunch," Bella said, handing Sabrina her brush and can of hairspray. "After that, well, we may have to call in a professional." Sabrina was so happy she could have cried. "Thank you." "Don't thank me," Bella said. "You have the seat in front of mine in science class, and with that head of hair, there was no way I was going to be able to see the film strip." Sabrina laughed. It felt good when Bella joined her. Just then, the bell rang. "We better get to class," the blonde girl said. "Old Battle Axe will be mad if we're late." "Didn't you hear?" Sabrina said. "Our teacher was killed last night." "I think the fumes from the hairspray are affecting your brain. I saw her walking down the hall just a couple of minutes ago." "Her? Our teacher was a him," Sabrina said. But Bella had already rushed out of the restroom. Sabrina walked down the hallway and prepared herself for the sadness and confusion the other students would be feeling when they discovered Mr. Grumpner was dead. She assumed there would be a ceremony to honor their murdered teacher. The school had probably brought in some grief counselors to console them and answer questions. Everyone would make a giant condolence card and sign it for Mr. Grumpner's wife and family. But when she stepped into the classroom, there were no tears running down faces. There were no confused, broken-hearted kids. There was not a single sad face. In fact, the kids acted as if nothing had happened at all. Like the day before, they were sleepy and bored. Sabrina was shocked. Sure, Mr. Grumpner had been a bitter pill to swallow, but he was still a human being, and he had died a horrible death. Didn't anyone care? Bewildered, Sabrina went to her seat, sat down, and scanned the room for anyone who might need someone to talk to. Across the room, Bella smiled and gave her the thumbs-up gesture. Has the world gone insane? Sabrina wondered to herself. A man died in this classroom less than 24 hours ago, and they're acting like it's just another day. A roly-poly woman lumbered into the room and set a handful of books down on Grumpner's desk. She had flaming red hair, done up in a bouffant, and a makeup job that looked as if it had been applied with a paintball gun. Something about her seemed oddly familiar. "Good morning, class," she said. "Yesterday we were talking about transitive verbs. Let's pass your homework forward and see how you did at identifying them." Sabrina was dumbfounded. "Homework?" "Grumpner didn't assign any homework," Sabrina said to the sleepy girl next to her. "Who's Grumpner?" the girl asked, taking out her assignment and handing it up the aisle. The teacher glanced around the room, absorbing the faces of her students. When she spotted Sabrina, her smile suddenly dissolved and was replaced with a bitter scowl. It was then that Sabrina recognized her. Sabrina had seen her when she and Daphne had snuck into the Fairyport Landing Ball, the Queen of Hearts. "Grim," she snapped. "A word, please." Sabrina reluctantly got up from her desk and joined the woman at the front of the room. She had never actually met the Queen, but after reading Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, Sabrina was familiar with her notorious disciplinary tactics. More than a few citizens of Wonderland had lost their heads when the Queen lost her temper. Looking into the woman's face, it seemed to Sabrina that her own head might be next on the chopping block. "Child, I know what you are up to," the Queen said in a low voice. "I'm not sure what you mean." "You've come here to spy on me," the woman said. "Well, you can tell that old busybody grandmother of yours that she's wasting her time." "I'm not spying on you," Sabrina said. How dare the woman accuse her of such a thing? The Queen didn't even know her. "I know it drives you Grimms crazy that there are ever-afters working around human children." "I swear I'm not here to spy. I'm 11. I have to go to school. It's the law," Sabrina snapped. She looked around the room and noticed that even some of the drowsy kids were listening to their conversation. She flushed with anger and embarrassment. "A likely excuse, but I'm watching you, child. You step out of line just once with me, and it's what, off with my head?" The girl interrupted, as anger flooded over her. She realized she was shouting, but she couldn't help herself. "You're a paranoid old kook. If you want to start off like this on your first day, be my guest." "First day?" the Queen said nervously. "Sabrina, I've been this class's teacher since the beginning of the year. Don't you remember?" Suddenly, everything made sense. The reason no one was upset about Grumpner's murder was because no one remembered him. Grumpner had been erased. The ever-afters had covered the entire town in forgetful dust and wiped him from everyone's memory. The only reason Sabrina remembered him was because her house was covered with protection spells that kept the family safe from magical attacks. She didn't know why she was so surprised. The lousy ever-afters were always making inconvenient things disappear. When something got in the way, it vanished, just like her parents, just like her entire family, if the Ever Afters got the chance. "You erased him," Sabrina shouted, unable to control her anger. "You wiped him away, just like that, just like you did with my parents. But I won't let you do it again. You tell your dirty Ever After friends that I'm going to find my mom and dad, and I'm going to find who killed Mr. Grumpner, too." The Queen's face reeled in horror. Sabrina had betrayed an unspoken rule of Fairyport Landing. Never reveal the truth. She looked up at the nasty teacher's face, hoping the Queen could see that she was tired of secrets. Daphne was right. Mr. Grumpner's murder needed to be solved, if only to show the Ever Afters that they couldn't get away with their tricks anymore. Suddenly, Wendell, the boy who had been late for school the day before, rushed into the room. He looked confused for a moment as he spotted the Queen. Then he recovered and hurried down the aisle to his seat, an odd, chalky dust trailing behind him. He sat down awkwardly and hid his face in his textbook. Sabrina's eyes watered and she sneezed loudly as the cloud of dust settled to the floor. "Cut it out, Grim!" Toby cried from across the room. "You're spraying your cooties all over the place." Sabrina turned on the boy, walked down the aisle, and grabbed him by the shirt collar. Still full of rage, she shouted, "Shut your mouth, you little bug-eyed freak!" Toby stared into her face and just smiled. "Mrs. Hart, I'm sorry to interrupt," a voice said from the doorway. Sabrina spun around and saw Principal Hamlin. "I'd like to introduce a new student." "Take your seat, Ms. Grimm," the Queen said between gritted teeth. The angry girl marched back to her desk. "Mrs. Hart, class, this is Robin Goodfellow," the principal said, as Puck marched into the room, waving and bowing as if he were a movie star. "Ta-da!" Puck sang. "Please, don't make a fuss. Robin is here all the way from Akron, Ohio, and he'll be staying with Sabrina Grimm's family," Hamlin announced. "Robin Goodfellow?" the Queen muttered knowingly. It was obvious to Sabrina that the teacher recognized the boy. Puck winked at her. "That's my name, don't wear it out," he crowed. "Take a seat in the back. There's one near your friend." The boy looked around the room. "Is that the only seat available? The Grimm girl tends to have a very foul odor," he said, with a wicked grin. "She's a real stinker." The half of the class that wasn't asleep roared with laughter, and Sabrina blushed. "And she's got quite a temper, too," the Queen replied. "Sorry, Mr. Goodfellow. If the rest of the class has to suffer, so do you." The students roared again. "So, Mrs. Hart, he's all yours," the principal said, and left the room. Sabrina's head was pounding, and she had a fever. How had she gotten so angry so quickly? Mirror was right. Puberty was really screwing with her head, and if she didn't get control over it, she was going to be the school weirdo forever. She glanced around the room and noticed that kids were staring at her. How humiliating the whole thing had been. The only kids who didn't seem to care were the ones who had slept through it all, and Wendell. The chubby little ever-after boy had been busy reading and keeping his head down the whole time Puck was being introduced by the principal, almost as if he'd wanted to avoid his father's gaze. There was something unusual about the boy. His feet were covered in white chalk. It had made Sabrina sneeze, just like the dust they had found in Mr. Grumpner's footprints. This odd boy with the runny nose had been in the same place their murdered teacher had been. "Ms. Grimm," Mrs. Hart said. She had come down the aisle and was standing over Sabrina with her grade book in hand. "No homework today?" Sabrina's eyes flared as they met the Queen's. "I didn't know we had any homework today," she snapped. "That's a shame, Ms. Grimm," the teacher said with a wicked smile. "I'm going to have to give you a zero." The girl met her grin with a bitter scowl. "Since you're having trouble keeping up with your assignments, maybe we should set up some special time for you to get them done," Mrs. Hart said. "I'll see you in detention this afternoon." "What's a detention?" Puck asked. It means I have to stay after school for an hour, Sabrina whispered. An hour? The boy laughed. That's the most twisted, depraved punishment I have ever heard of. I've been here for 5 minutes, and it's already an intolerable agony. Well then, Mr. Goodfellow, maybe you should join her, Mrs. Hart suggested. Your Majesty, Puck cried, leaping from his seat. He threw his arms around the woman and wailed, Show some mercy! The Queen of Hearts waited patiently for Puck's dramatics to end and for the students to stop giggling. When he released her, the teacher spun around and headed to the front of the classroom. Now, class, let's talk about past participles, she said, turning toward the chalkboard. On the Queen's back was a sheet of paper that read, I kiss goats. The kids who were awake fell over themselves laughing. The teacher spun around and flashed at the class a mascara-heavy evil eye. She turned back to the board, and the class exploded again. Anyone who wants to join Ms. Grimm and Mr. Goodfellow tonight in detention, just keep it up, she shouted. By the time the bell rang, the entire class was looking at Puck as if he were a rock star. Hilarious, one kid snorted as the students emptied into the hall. Puck absorbed their praise like a greedy sponge and agreed with each one wholeheartedly that he was indeed a genius. But Sabrina had no interest in Puck's groupies. Her eyes were fixed on Wendell, who now hurried down the hallway, followed by a cloud of dust. She rushed after him. Hey, Stinkpot, Puck said, breaking away from his followers. You're not supposed to leave my sight. Sabrina didn't reply. Instead, she darted through crowds and dodged open lockers as she trailed the chubby boy through the overpacked hallway. He raced down a flight of stairs and slipped through a door. By the time Sabrina caught up, he had already slammed the door behind him. The sign on it read, Boiler Room. Where are you going? Puck asked, grabbing Sabrina's wrist and pulling her back before she could open the door. I think that boy knows something about Grumpner's death, she replied, reaching for the door. You're not supposed to go anywhere without me. Well, you're here now. Let's go. I don't feel like it. Puck, it's the boiler room. I bet it's dirty and gross in there, Sabrina said, trying to play to the boy's biggest weakness, filth. I bet there's a greasy floor you could roll around on. Puck's eyes lit up and he nodded vigorously. It was nice to see that she could manipulate him when it was important. She reached for the doorknob again, but before she could turn it, a muscular, grizzled-looking man stepped in her way.
Where do you kids think you're going? He asked.
He was tall and strong, with arms as big as tree trunks and a chest as wide as the family car. It was obvious that he hadn't shaved in several days and could probably use some sleep. His blue coverall uniform had a patch on it that told everyone his name was Charlie, and the smell coming off of him told everyone his uniform needed a trip to the laundromat. But it was the mop slung over his shoulder that told her this was the school janitor, and the boiler room was his domain.
I was looking for my next class, Sabrina lied.
In the boiler room?
Charlie laughed, spraying his corned beef and cigarette breath all over her.
Ain't nothing in there but a bunch of mops and brooms.
My mistake, she said.
She turned around, and together she and Puck headed down the hallway. She snuck a peek back, hoping Charlie had moved on, but he was still there, leaning against the door.
I could lure him upstairs and push him out a window, Puck offered. No, we can't do that. We'll come back later. For now, just go to your next class, Sabrina replied. Where is it?
She snatched his schedule out of his hand and looked at it.
Puck, you're in all my classes. The old lady in Canis negotiated it with the principal, the boy explained.
Sabrina knew what kind of negotiating Mr. Canis could do. Now Sabrina would have Puck practically riding on her back. There were several kids walking behind them, and one of them laughed loudly and said, Hello, smelly stinkpot. Sabrina spun around to see who had insulted her, but the kids just walked away. Smelly stinkpot? What does that mean? Sabrina asked Puck. Who knows, he said. Kids can be cruel.
It would be hours before Bella stopped her in the hallway and removed a sign that had been taped onto Sabrina's back. It read, "Pleased to meet you. I'm Smelly Stinkpot." The rest of the day, Sabrina and Puck kept a watchful eye out for Wendell, but it seemed as if the boy had disappeared. During a break between classes, Puck even rushed outside and summoned some pixies with his flute to look for their chubby suspect. As Sabrina and Puck waited for word back, they went from one class to the next. And in each, the trickster king did his best to humiliate his housemate. Unlike a normal kid, Puck didn't bring pencils or a notebook to class. He brought what he called the essentials: a squirt gun, stink pellets, a shock buzzer, and his personal favorite, a whoopee cushion. Now, to Sabrina, fart jokes were so old-fashioned. She believed kids were pretty sophisticated in the 21st century. It would take more than an obnoxious noise to get a modern kid laughing. Unfortunately, Sabrina was wrong. Puck let the whoopee cushion go in every class, making it seem as if Sabrina were having intestinal issues, and the kids just thought it got funnier and funnier. Eventually, he added a little acting to his routine, pretending to gag on Sabrina's imaginary fumes. When this proved to be wildly popular as well, it quickly evolved into an elaborate death scene, which ended with Puck shaking in convulsions on the floor. His performances and Sabrina's threats of a serious beating helped the two rack up an impressive 5 detentions apiece by midday. At the rate they were going, Sabrina suspected they would be in detention until they were 25. So, as they headed for gym class, she smiled, knowing revenge was within her grasp. Puck was about to get what he had coming to him. "Okay, class," Ms. Spangler said as she tossed a ball back and forth between her hands. "We've got a new student today. His name is Robin, and he says he's never actually played dodgeball." Even from across the room, Sabrina could see Toby's and Natalie's eyes light up with excitement. Bella, who was standing nearby, leaned over to her. "Your friend is in serious trouble." Puck waved to everyone, unaware that attention was the last thing he wanted in this class. Once everyone got an eyeful of him, Ms. Spangler divided the class into 2 teams. Puck and Sabrina found themselves standing next to each other. "How do you play this game?" he asked. "People throw balls at you," she said. "If they hit you, then you're out." "Let me get this straight. The object of this game is to hit someone with a ball. Can you hit them in the head?" Sabrina nodded, eyeing the opposing team to avoid a sneak attack. "And you can hit them as hard as you want?" "That's actually encouraged. But be careful. If they catch it, you're out." "Does anyone ever catch the ball?" "Rarely." "How diabolical," Puck cried. "It's so twisted, it's brilliant. Are you any good at this dodgeball?" "I used to be," Sabrina grumbled, staring at the 2 children directly across from her on the other team, Toby and the big goon Natalie, who were staring back at her with evil grins on their faces. They were like vultures waiting to take a bite of her. Ms. Spangler blew her whistle, and the insanity began. A ball whizzed past Sabrina's head and smacked into Bella. Sabrina was surprised. The day before, the girl had been so agile, but now it seemed like Bella had actually stepped into the ball, as if she wanted to be knocked out of the game. The blonde girl shrugged her shoulders. "Good luck," she said to Sabrina, as she made her way over to the sidelines. Sabrina looked up to see Toby and Natalie. Both were grinning. Toby winged his ball straight at her head, and just before it smashed her in the nose, Puck reached over and caught it. "Toby's out!" Ms. Spangler shouted. Dejected, the boy scowled and sulked over to the sidelines. "Now, what do I do with it?" Puck asked. "Throw it at somebody," Sabrina said impatiently. Puck wound up, ready to smack Sabrina right in the face with the ball. "Not me, you idiot," she cried, pointing at the opposite team. "Them." Puck threw his ball at a red-haired boy standing close to the front. It rocketed across the room like a missile, hit the red-headed kid in the chest, and sent him flying backward 10 yards. The class stopped playing and let out a collective gasp. "Kevin is out," Ms. Spangler said, unsympathetic to the boy's obvious injuries. Every kid looked at Puck as if he had just suggested adding another day to the school week. Even kids on his team seemed afraid of him. And when the game resumed, Puck was public enemy number one. Balls came from every direction, and the boy managed to duck, jump, and somersault around every one. He bent in impossible directions that no normal human being ever could. He stood on his hands and let balls fly between his feet. He taunted everyone, which only made them want to smash him in the face even more. But every effort failed. When the already sleepy kids were thoroughly exhausted, Puck began to collect their weak tosses. In no time, he had collected almost every ball and had laid them at his feet. When the kids realized what he had done, they whimpered. Even Natalie let out a little cry. Puck picked up the first of his collection and winged it at a boy standing nearby. The ball hit the kid so hard he slid across the floor and out the gym doors. Puck picked up another ball and another, tossing them at impossible speeds. A tall, skinny girl was hit so hard her shoes flew off her feet. One ball hit a group of kids, bouncing off of one and then hitting the next and the next until they all tipped over like bowling pins. Even Ms. Spangler got cracked hard in the back and nearly swallowed her whistle. By the time it was over, Sabrina, Puck, and Natalie were the only ones left standing. "No boundaries," Ms. Spangler said. "What's that mean?" Puck asked. "It means we can go after her," Sabrina said, pointing at Natalie. He clapped his hands like a happy baby. "School is awesome," he shouted. He picked up a ball and handed it to Sabrina. Sabrina was so happy she could have kissed Puck. Quickly, shaking off this thought, she helped him stalk the big girl around the gym. Natalie huffed like an angry bull. "If you know what's good for you, you'll drop those balls right now," she threatened them. "You're probably right," Sabrina said, tossing the ball at the girl as hard as she could. It smashed into the side of Natalie's face and she fell down. Sabrina had knocked the bully down for the second time in 2 days. "Natalie is out," Ms. Spangler shouted. "No sides." Sabrina turned to congratulate Puck, just as a ball crashed into the side of her face and sent her reeling. The class cheered, and Puck raised his hand in triumph. "I won," he cried. He raised both arms into the air and ran around the gym, shouting, "Victory lap!" Sabrina could already feel her lip swelling. By the time lunch rolled around, Sabrina was ready to strangle the boy. So when she saw Daphne's smiling face in the cafeteria, it was like seeing a rainbow. The little girl was surrounded by her classmates who, as they had the day before, looked at her as if she were a movie star. When Daphne spotted Sabrina and Puck, she excused herself and joined them at a table in the far corner of the room. "How has your day been?" she asked. "It's been horrible," Sabrina said. "Tell my sister I wasn't talking to her," Daphne said to Puck. "I was talking to you." Sabrina rolled her eyes. "How long are you going to be mad at me?" "Remind my sister that I just said I was not talking to her," the little girl said to Puck. Puck grinned. "The squirt says she isn't talking to you." "Get over it," Sabrina cried. "Tell my sister when she stops being a snot, I will get over it." "She says when you stop being a disgusting, booger-crusted freak, she will honor you with a conversation. But until then, shove off," Puck said. "This is ridiculous," the older girl said, staring down at her serving of not-too-green green beans. "Ask my sister what ridiculous means," Daphne said. "She wants to know what..." "I heard her," Sabrina growled at the boy. "It means you are being silly. It means you are being a baby." "Tell my sister that I'm rubber and she's glue, and whatever she says bounces off me and sticks to her." "Your sister says..." "Puck!" Sabrina shouted. She turned back to her food and took a bite of something she thought might be chicken. It wasn't even close. "Well, if you're not going to talk to me, then you won't know that I've found a clue," she said. Daphne's face lit up as bright as the sun. "What kind of clue?" Are you done with the silent treatment? Her sister asked. Depends on how good the clue is. You know those dusty footprints we were following last night? Well, there's a kid in my homeroom whose feet were covered in the same dust. What did you do? Daphne asked, interested despite herself. I tried to follow him, but he slipped into the boiler room, Sabrina said. We're going to have to come back after everyone's gone and do some snooping. Daphne smiled and hugged Sabrina. Puck sniffed the creamed corn on his tray. He reached down with his bare hand and scooped some up. Then he licked it with his tongue. Any of those disgusting warts show up yet? Ms. White told me that you don't get warts from touching frogs, the little girl growled. Not even frog girls. Ah, I'm sorry to see that little joke die. The boy sighed as creamed corn dripped down his wrist and onto his clean shirt. I had you completely freaked out. Hardy har har, Puck, you are so unpunk rock, Daphne said, turning her attention to her sister. So what's the plan? First, you have to get a detention, Sabrina said as she eyed her gray hamburger. What? Daphne cried. Puck got us in trouble, so we have to stay after school. Since the two of us have to stay, you might as well get in trouble, too. We should try to stick together. How am I supposed to get a detention? The little girl asked. I don't know. Insult your teacher or something. I can't do that to Ms. White. Yes, you can. Be annoying, Sabrina suggested. You do it to me every day. Daphne looked as if she was going to cry. When the children met at the end of the last period, Daphne was back to giving Sabrina the silent treatment. Sabrina asked her how she'd managed to get detention, but she wouldn't answer. Sabrina shrugged. If she worried every time her sister got mad at her, she'd never have time to do anything else. Daphne would get over it. The important thing was that they were all together. Nothing bad could happen when they were together. They walked down the hallway toward the detention room, and Puck was nothing but complaints. I can't believe I have to be subjected to this torture, he whined. I am royalty. To say anything I do is inappropriate in school is just foolish. Everything I do is majestic and regal. So when you were picking your nose in Mr. Cafferty's class, that was regal? Sabrina asked. Absolutely, he said. Back home, people stand out in the freezing rain for days just to hear a rumor that I picked my nose. Ugh, was all Sabrina could say to Puck's disgusting conversation. This detention is going to be horrible. I've heard stories. Some kids go into that class and never come out, and the ones that do aren't the same. Aren't you being a little dramatic? Not at all, Puck insisted. From what I hear, this detention is a house of horrors. Sabrina rolled her eyes and opened the detention room door. Immediately, she put her hand over Daphne's eyes. Mrs. Hart lay in one corner of the room. Snow White struggled to her feet in another, and in the center was a skeleton in shredded coveralls, with a name patch still visible. Charlie. The killer had left one identifying mark on the fabric of the coveralls, a bright red handprint. See? I told you, Puck said proudly. It's gross, isn't it? Daphne asked, turning into her sister's arms and hiding her face in Sabrina's sweater. Yes, it's gross, Sabrina whispered. I guess this means we don't have detention, Puck said. Daphne pulled herself away from her sister and rushed to Ms. White. The teacher didn't look seriously injured, but was dizzy and disoriented. The children helped her to her feet and sat her at one of the desks in the classroom. Sabrina kneeled down to check on Mrs. Hart. She was breathing normally, but was out cold. What happened, Ms. White? Sabrina asked. The teacher looked confused and mumbled, but only one word was distinguishable.
Wendell.
Suddenly, there was a loud thump outside the window, followed by a painful moan. The children ran to the window and Sabrina stuck her head out. Below her was Wendell. The boy had jumped out the window, tumbled end over end, and was climbing to his feet. Hey! She shouted. The boy looked up and his face went pale. He darted off toward the woods as fast as his chubby little legs could carry him. Puck's enormous wings burst out of his back. I'll get the little piggy. Sabrina grabbed his arm before he could fly away. Someone might see you, she cried, dragging the boy back from the window. Instead, she crawled out herself, dropping 5 feet before landing safely on the ground. Daphne followed, and her sister caught her. Puck refused Sabrina's assistance and jumped on his own, his wings no longer visible. "He's headed for the forest!" Sabrina shouted, and the three children sprinted across the field. Wendell was not a fast runner, but he had a big head start. He had already disappeared into the forest by the time the children reached the tree line. "We lost him," Sabrina groaned. "No, he left a trail," Puck said, pointing at deep, muddy footprints. The group raced on, following the trail. "He's confused," the boy said, as they followed the footprints up a hill. "He goes in one direction and then turns back and runs the other way. It's slowing him down. We'll find him soon." Puck was right. It wasn't long before they found the chubby boy, cornered against a steep, rocky wall. When Wendell saw them, he whimpered like a dog and looked frantically for an escape.
"It's not what you think," he said, wiping his nose with his handkerchief.
"Then why are you running?" Sabrina asked.
"I was trying to help," he cried. "I'm trying to stop them."
"Who's them?" Daphne asked. Suddenly, the frightened boy pulled out a small harmonica and raised it to his lips.
"Don't make me use this," he shouted.
"Come on, Tubby," Puck said. "We know you're the killer. We'll take you back and call the cops. It'll all be over in no time. Don't worry. I hear the electric chair only hurts for a second." Wendell blew a long, sour note into his harmonica, and the whole forest erupted with chatter and scurrying. The noise grew louder and louder, and Sabrina thought that at any moment some horrible monster or giant was going to charge out of the brush. But the noise stopped suddenly, and a furry little bunny hopped out from behind a tree. It was the cutest brown rabbit she had ever seen, and it bounded over to them and stopped at their feet. It looked up at the children with its soft, warm eyes and made a little twittering noise.
"A bunny!" Daphne cried as she knelt down to pet it. "I love him!"
The rabbit snapped at her finger and let out a horrible, angry hiss. "An evil bunny!" the little girl said, yanking her finger away.
"So, that's what your harmonica does?" Puck laughed. "Sends a rabbit to kill us?"
Wendell didn't say anything. He didn't have to. His silence was filled by the sound of hundreds of rabbits pouring into the clearing, as if they had heard Puck's taunt. They jostled one another for room, then turned and faced Wendell, as if he was some kind of general. It was obvious the boy was controlling them.
"Guys, I forgot to tell you the other clue I discovered," Sabrina said nervously. "Wendell is an ever-after. He's the Pied Piper's son, and apparently the magic runs in the family."
"Now you listen to me," Puck said, as his wings sprouted from his back and flapped vigorously until he was floating above the ground.
"You're a killer, and from what I've been told, that's against the law these days. Now we can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way."
"Puck, shut up," Sabrina demanded. But the trickster just kept on talking, and Wendell's face grew more and more desperate. Each furry little rodent twitched with eagerness, waiting for the boy to give a command.
"If you think a bunch of hairy little garden thieves are going to stop me, you are sadly mistaken," Puck continued. "So, call off your fur balls, or I'm going to skin the lot of them and make me the biggest winter coat you've ever seen."
Wendell lifted his harmonica to his mouth, and another sour note rang through the air. The rabbits instantly turned and faced the kids. Their soft brown eyes were now red with anger.
"Get them!"
Wendell shouted. And like a furry army, the first wave of rabbits lunged at the children.